You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Is there a country where women are not trafficked into prostitution? Certainly, it's not Canada. And equally, it's not India. My guest is Indrani Sinha. She's been working for many years against the trafficking of young girls into prostitution in India, specifically in the Calcutta region of West Bengal. She is in Vancouver to participate in a series of panels under the heading Flesh Mapping Vancouver Markets Pacific Women. The series focuses on trafficking and prostitution, and it's part of the Vancouver Art Gallery show WAC, Art and the Feminist Revolution. Good morning, Indrani, and a warm welcome to Vancouver.
Good morning.
Are there reasonably reliable statistics on the numbers of women in prostitution in India?
Yeah, I mean, we have a 2006-07 study of Ministry of Women and Child. And if we take the government accounts for real, it's about almost 4 million women and girl children who are in prostitution.
And in the area where you live and work in Kolkata and West Bengal, what sort of numbers might be?
1 million.
1 million. That's a very high proportion even of the Indian total number.
Yes, because Calcutta is also, Calcutta borders or West Bengal borders with Bangladesh and Nepal. And we get a lot of people from Bangladesh and Nepal coming in every day, and young girls who are trafficked into prostitution. Other than, and plus Calcutta is also the gateway to the whole eastern region for Orissa, Bihar and the northeastern states. So that is why Calcutta has a big number. And Calcutta, I think, historically has the oldest brothels, which were started by the English. And so that is how, you know, it is a historical place. It is bordered with countries which sends their poor women for prostitution. And it is also houses children coming in from other states.
I'd like to have you explain a bit more how this trafficking works. Who does the trafficking as well?
Well, we have a lot of areas which are now identified, which are very vulnerable areas, meaning there is no development, there is no skill training, there is no jobs over there. There are a lot of landless people. Now, like everybody else, you know, they would also like to migrate, and there is a lot of unsafe migration to the city. And in this whole scenario, there is a very well-organized crime racket, where people go and identify these poor families, and they are brought into trafficking. They are brought into trafficking and then into prostitution. There is also a lot of trafficking for cheap labor, bonded labor, and mainly girl children are sent for that or brought for that. We also have a lot of child marriage, and you know, it is kind of catered to by the poor families, because it is taking off their own responsibility of looking after a girl child. And so she is given in marriage and without realizing that she is actually going into the hands of the traffickers. So all these things together, you know, caters to more trafficking and more children in cheap labor and prostitution.
So the original condition is the intense poverty and desperation of people, and
yes,
then that is,
yes,
preyed upon to,
right,
snatch the young.
Right.
When you say young girls, what ages are
12,
we?
12, sometimes even less. We had the youngest, you know, we have shelters, so we have the youngest, you know, who was 9 years old. She was brought into this, and for bonded labor or for cheap labor, we have children who are 8, 9, 10, you know, that age group. And they are physically tortured, and then they are, and in the process, some of them are also prostituted, sold in the brothels. But in cheap labor also, we see a lot of sexual abuse and a lot of physical abuse.
So the two complement each other in the sense of going into a situation where they may not be working as a prostitute, but they are working in bonded, which is one step nearest, I guess the nearest to slavery, isn't it?
It is slavery. And see, actually, when the family sends a child, see, it's very difficult, you know, if the family is strong, if the family is stable, and if the family doesn't want to send the child, then the child will be safe. What happens is, you know, these desperate families, they are sending their children or they are sending young girls or young women for two purposes. Either they are given in marriage or they are sending them for to earn something for the family. And in both these circumstances, you know, she will go for cheap labor, or, you know, like work in people's houses as housemaids, and she doesn't know what she is getting into. And on the other hand, you know, she can also be sold into prostitution. So, you know, it starts from trying to work or getting into marriage, and then these things happen.
You founded an organization 21 years ago, and it's called Sanlap. What does Sanlap mean?
Sanlap is a Sanskrit word and also Bengali. In West Bengal, we speak Bengali. It means dialogue. And we believe that, you know, we need to constantly dialogue with different kinds of people, with the children who are being abused, with the young women who are in prostitution, or with the government, you know, who doesn't look into all the problems the way it should. So it's dialogue.
And what does your organization do in relation to the women who are trapped in prostitution?
Well, first is that, you know, legally under 18 should not be there. That is accepted by the country. Now, when that is there, based on that, we rescue the girls. When we say we rescue the girls, we also take the help of the police, because you can't do it alone. And so rescuing the girls and bringing them to the shelters, and then giving them back their childhood, giving them some skills, sometimes going back to the family, helping them there, or they start on their own. They become independent, they start on their own. And in this whole process, you know, we have the girls have education, the girls have skills, the girls have counseling and mental health support, the girls have jobs. So those kinds of skills are given. So all those things happen. But parallelly, we do a lot of lobbying with the government to bring more care and protection, bring up more care and protection places for these children or young people, or, you know, like giving them jobs in the mainstream, so-called mainstream places, giving them skills, you know, having a part of the government to cater to these children. So there's a lot of advocacy work or lobbying work goes on. Then again, we have to work very closely with the police and the judiciary. So they need to know about trafficking. And it's really strange, but if you talk to some of the people in the judiciary or in the police, you will find that they know very little. And so, you know, you have to tell them. So we do a lot of training programs or information giving programs for these people. And now we are in the mainstream training programs of the police and of the judiciary. So we are doing it in the legal, I mean, the universities, law universities, or in the police training courses.
You're challenging, obviously, the traffickers when you are taking women away out of the brothels and giving them shelter and an opportunity, as you say, to reclaim their childhood and to gain other alternatives that respect and enhance their dignity. Are you threatened?
We are. Like, I had to send my children far away, my two daughters, to a boarding school in South India because I was threatened, and I used to get phone calls, and so it was very bad. So I did that. And yes, many of her, but what happens is, you know, in the brothel area or in the red light area, we get a lot of support from the women themselves. So we feel very safe. I mean, touch wood, nothing has happened yet. So I think, you know, we are pretty, and I think, you know, many of our staff, I would say that, you know, we are very bold, and because we want to do this, we don't want to look into the risk part of it.
Now, you mentioned that the British colonial officials and so on used prostitutes, Indian prostitutes, and does that mean that prostitution was legal both under the colonial and today?
It is not legal, but what our law says is that prostitution per se is not illegal. So a woman can do prostitution, but anybody living off her, that means the brothel owner, the pimp, her boyfriend or her family, everybody is illegal. Now, it's very strange because, you know, this particular woman cannot live on her own. She has to have, I mean, she will have all the support all around her, so which is not done. So, you know, it's a very funny kind of a statement or the law that we have. But see, when it was started by the British, they set up these brothels, a couple of areas, where they brought in a lot of Indian women. But to start with, there were a lot of English women who were taken from England to cater to the English, the military and the army and the writers. And to keep them safe, to keep them checked for STD, to keep them, I mean, at that point of time, nobody talked about HIV. So keep them safe and healthy, to keep their own people healthy, they had these cordoned areas known as brothels. But later, with the years, there are many more areas and many more women who are in prostitution, in women who are widowed or deserted or poor. And I won't even say women. It is young girls who are brought in because that is the age of demand.
Now, you mentioned sexually transmitted diseases, and of course now one of these is HIV positive. I understood that you had made an application to a Bill Gates Foundation to get some funding so that your organization could provide some services and treatment for the women, the young girls who come and are HIV positive, but you were refused.
Yes, we actually have at least 30% of our girls, of the 200 girls that we have generally, are who are HIV positive. With that huge number, we actually requested for this fund. We also requested for funds, which is government funds for us, which actually comes from UNAIDS. So, and through the health ministry, it gets distributed. We asked Bill Gates Foundation, and Bill Gates Foundation told us to go to our government because they also fund programs through the government. We approached, three times we approached, we were turned down. And the reason was that, you know, they gave on paper was that, you know, our proposal was not technically sound, but actually because we did not cater to legalization of prostitution or accepted prostitution as work. So that is why we were turned down.
And why don't you?
We don't because we feel that, you know, there is so much of violence bringing in the girl and keeping the girl over there. So by the time she actually can protest, you know, better part of her life has gone. And at that point, she's already sick. She's already, you know, she has given up living that way. She's in addiction. She's alcoholic. And so there's so much of violence. And if there is violence in any work where women cannot be there, and women should not take this up or accept, that's why we don't accept.
So for you, prostitution is
violence against women. Yes.
Thank you very much for joining me this morning,
Indra. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Indrani Sinha. She's been working for many years against the trafficking of young girls into prostitution in India, specifically in the Calcutta region of West Bengal.